And we're starting our little journey together. There's going to be some different things happen in the next several months. And it's called a discussion through Ephesians. And it's called that for a purpose because I'm going to share just for a few minutes. Then I'm going to open it up to every one of us. And so for the purpose of those that might get on the website and want to hear what you're saying, we're going to have a mic available and we'll have somebody passing it around. But I want you to share your thoughts because cumulatively here in this room, there are Christians that have faced death, have faced trials, have faced tribulations, and we've succeeded. Somehow, we're here this morning. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you. And this can be a life-changing journey that we go on this next few months because the book of Ephesians is a small Bible, and it begins by telling us who we are, reminding us of our position in him, and then it begins to tell us what is required of us because of that position. It's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. I remember as a young pastor, I went through this book in the way back in the late 80s, early 90s at the first church I ever pastored, and I watched the whole congregation grow before our eyes. And we have infected that community in a way that I've not seen since. And so I think that it's the timing of the Lord for us to do that. This is a training time for the church to prepare for the greatest revival the world has ever seen. I believe that with all my heart. And revival begins, how many know where it begins? It begins with us. And so someone asked a great man of God, how do I experience your revival? He said, go home, draw a circle on the floor, get in that circle, pray for revival to come to that circle. And so this is merely a journey together to remind us, you and I, who we are in Christ and then what we can do with what we have. How many know there's no impossible situations? I have removed the word impossible from my vocabulary because I believe that all things are possible in Christ. There are no impossible situations as long as I'm in Christ. And so, Father, this morning we pray together. We pray, God, that you would just take this next minutes that we're together in your word and enliven us, God. Give us boldness and confidence of what you've called us to be, God. Lord, we thank you for the complete work that you did on Calvary. There's nothing more to do. There's nothing more for you to do. It's just simply us walking in your finished works. So God, give us the boldness and the confidence and the wherewithal to see together with our eyes and experience with our walk what you've given to us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, if you will apply the truths that are offered to you in this book of Ephesians, you will never be the same again. Things that have been hard to overcome in your life will be defeated. Many of us have already experienced that. Not because you tried harder, but because you received the truth of the Word of God. He's made an overcoming people who walk not only in freedom, because freedom without responsibility is bondage, but who walk with authority and power, using our position to glorify him and establish his kingdom in our spheres of influence. God's not asking us to do something we are not able to do. One of the things that the pastors in this area, we had our weekly prayer this last Wednesday, and we talked about ruling in our sphere of influence. God's not expecting us to be giants that take the world. How many know God's got people everywhere, in every place, in every walk of life, so that when he sanctions them to take authority, they can do it in their area. Yes. As bad as Washington is, as dark as that place is, how many know God's got Washington covered? He's got Christians there that could stand. And I believe we'll see the greatest revival Washington has ever seen, as well as our area. A couple questions to begin with. Are you tired of seeing defeated Christians? I don't know about you, but I am. Are you tired of reading without experiencing? I am. God, I said, God, I've read enough about revival. Let me experience revival. Now is the time to make changes. We have no excuses. The Word of God begins to tell us. Paul in Ephesians penned this letter around 62 AD, around 29 years after the ascension of Jesus Christ. Wickedness was rampant in Paul's day. Mankind was without hope. Ephesians 2:12 says, having no hope and without God in the world. It's not unlike the world we live in today. We struggle with all sorts of sin that we have to live among. Come on, someone. It used to be you could get away from it. There's really no place you can get away from it. It's everywhere. But God has told us to be righteous in an unrighteous and a fallen world. Social adjustments that have been made. Now marriage is no longer marriage. Gender is no longer gender. We have drug abuse that runs rampant. Not only illegal drugs, but we have so many legal over-the-counter drugs that people are on. Come on, someone. That has changed the face of our society. Sexual promiscuity, we used to gasp and get embarrassed at what is regularly our, even on advertisements on television. It's before our eyes everywhere. And of course, the scourge of abortion. Carrie and I just watched the other night on the movie Unplanned again. It is on video. I encourage you to watch that and pray that our nation would turn away from the murder that it is performing every day. Man has always needed reconciliation with God. It's never been the same. Sin, never been different. Sin has always been sin. No matter to what degree it is, sin has already saturated our society. But in a sin-soaked society, He's called you and I together. Come on, someone. He called us here to make a difference. I've always said, if He didn't call us here to make a difference, what would He have done with us? He'd taken us right to heaven. It'd just be a slaughter meal. Get saved, die, and go to heaven. I mean, you know. So He left us here for a purpose. We talk a lot about our life being a vapor, but it's a good vapor. For this moment in time that we're alive, God has placed us and positioned us. He didn't make an accident. He didn't just say, you just fill a slot. No, He just doesn't want us to fill a slot. He wants us to take authority and rule and reign in His kingdom. He positioned us for greatness. Not for our greatness, for His greatness. He positioned us. He equipped us with everything that we need. There's no lack in God's provision. There's only lack in our faith. Come on, there's no lack in God's equipment. He equipped us to succeed in everything. To our relationship with our spouse, to our relationship with our children, to the job that we have, to the standing in the community. He equipped us practically to be overcomers. Yes. We don't need to go away to a seminar. We don't need to go away to, you know, a retreat. We don't need to do those things, although those things can be good. And at times they serve their purpose. But God wants to invade our everyday life with victory. The mundane alarm rings, we get up, we do the things that we do all the time. God wants to see, have us subject a change during that 24-hour period that He is pouring out His Spirit. He's empowered us with His Spirit and graced us with His Spirit. So when Paul was writing this letter, he wanted to remind them who it was coming from and who it was addressed to. So he begins this, says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He wanted them to make sure of who he was identifying with and who he was projecting. It wasn't from a church. It wasn't from a government. It was from the man, Jesus Christ. In ancient Greece, An apostle was an emissary or one who is sent off. Apostle wasn't a new word that Jesus came up with. Apostle was a governmental word. They were representatives of the ruling body that set things in order, and they were sent out to the kingdom to set things in order. Paul was not an apostle of the church or of the Christian faith. He was bound by no hierarchical body and did not answer to an organization. He answered to Jesus Christ. Here in Galatians 2, in verse 6, he said, he went up from those who seemed to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows no personal favoritism to no man. Say no man. No man. I mean, you know, that levels the field, doesn't it? For those who seemed to be something added nothing to me, but on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, he leveled the playing field. We are all representatives of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, yes. Joint heirs, yes. Authority is set in the body for order, not that one man would lord over another. We are answerable to the Lord equally. I understand that there are things in the body of Christ that have to be taken care of. I understand the fivefold ministry. But with all my heart, I want to see the rank and file Christian move in the authority that God has always purposed us to move into. And that is why Paul penned the letter. He wasn't writing to just leaders. And if we're guilty of anything in our generation, we're guilty of paying people and paying for people to come and tell us how great things are. I mean, you know, God wants us to be great in our lives. He wants to rule in our lives, to have the kingdom come to bear in our lives. That's the whole purpose for it. That's the reason. And he addresses it not to leaders, not to elders. He says to the saints. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the saints. Saints in the original meant physically pure, morally blameless, and ceremonially consecrated. Whatever you feel like this morning does not qualify or disqualify you. Feelings notwithstanding, you are a saint if you are a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ. You ain't an ain't, you're a saint. Doesn't matter how we feel. We live in a society that is so built on feelings. How many know it doesn't matter what you feel like? You're a saint of the Most High. You're ceremonially clean. You're stable. You're set apart. You're welcomed in the presence of God at all times, at every moment, no matter what we feel like. The authority and the power of God rests in you. When you speak the word of God, demons tremble. Don't you dare think anything different. It doesn't matter the vessel that it's being spoken through. It matters what's in the vessel. You are qualified. You are ceremonially consecrated. The blood of Jesus Christ sets you apart. He gave you a new life. In verse 2, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul declares the grace and the peace on the recipients of the letter. We also, as believers, have the grace and peace of God as our environment. Feelings, again, notwithstanding. When is the grace of God available? At all times, in every place. Where is the peace of God available? At all times, in every place. I told this story before, but I remember as a young man, I was on a board at the church. How I ever ended up on that board as a young man, I'll tell you what. It was at an Assembly of God church, and I was on the board, and we were in a heated discussion. And I was a, you know, at that time I had hair. And it must have been standing straight up. My face was red, and I was into this conversation. And I looked across, and Dick Meese was sitting there as calm and as cool as collected as I've ever seen anybody. Everybody else was all demonstrative, and he's just sitting there smiling. And I said, Dick, what is your problem? Get involved in this conversation. He said, whatever's going on in this room has nothing to do with what's going on inside of me. I have the peace of God. And I've never forgotten that. I never saw Dick get at all, ever get ruffled. We have the grace and peace of God as our environment. We need to take pause and remember that. He says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Paul gives praise and thanks to God, who has supplied everything needed to live this life in victory, blessed with every spiritual blessing. We have nothing to obtain from God in the way of blessing. Don't waste your time asking God to bless you. He's already blessed you. Take advantage of the blessing. Amen. You're not listening to me this morning. Oh God, please bless me. He said, I've already blessed you with every spiritual blessing. There's no more for me to give you. Boy, that just blows away some religious things that we've had in our head for so long. Oh, I got to pray. Not blessed enough. God says you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Not physical blessing. Not somebody patting you on the back saying you're better or you feel better because somebody recognizes you and likes your post on Facebook. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Where? In the heavenly places. Where it makes the difference. Been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He has already blessed us in every way so that success is ours. You and I are positionally finished. Experientially, we're not there, obviously. Every one of us could kick ourselves wishing we were double jointed so we could kick ourselves in the butt for being defeated, because God has supplied everything we have. He said in Matthew 17:20, Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move away from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. When I was going through the series at Peekskill, we planted a mustard seed while we were going through the book of Ephesians, and it grew to a tree size at the front of the sanctuary. How many know a mustard seed, how small it is? God says, you want faith. That's all the faith you need, is that much faith, and I will do what you ask me to do. That's powerful. And then in Mark 9:23, it says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Turn to somebody and look at them and say, all things are possible. Come on, somebody. All things. Now, what's that mean? All. If you look up all in the Greek, what's it mean? All. There's no other word to replace it. Every blessing is provided for us. Where? In the heavenly places, in the Spirit. We are servants in the flesh, and we have authority in the Spirit. The key to success and revival is to take on the servant attitude in the flesh in our bodies, and we'll have authority in the Spirit. There are no CEOs in the body of Christ. Taking after the world has not worked. We've made heroes that stand and pontificate for an hour and a half in cities all across this nation right now, where 8 or 10 churches have gathered together to see some guy on a screen. And it's not affected anything in those cities. Those cities are still full of murder and strife and poverty and drugs. It's not affected anything because they've made a hero. What will change is when everybody leaves that place, taking authority in their sphere of influence. It's not that we're not supposed to get together and be trained and equipped and build each other up on our faith. When we leave, we move as a body of Christ. He said this in Mark 10:42. Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. Jesus said in another place, if somebody wants you to walk a mile, walk 2 miles. If they want your coat, give them your shirt. We're called to serve in the flesh. Those things will give us authority in the Spirit. Come on, someone. The battle lies right at the intersection of this, servant and leader, and has caused the failure of many to achieve success in the kingdom. We live in an age where success is measured by fame. The only one that's supposed to be famous is Christ. Paul goes on to say, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, in verse 4, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. How many know when we're before God, we're holy and without blame? Why? Because of what Jesus did. He chose us. The whole idea of pre-selection and predestination can be confusing in our lives. There are those that say that we had no choice in this. We were so full of sin that we couldn't hear God, so God had to place us sovereignly in the body of Christ. We had no choice. We do have a choice. How many know we have a choice? God doesn't make us robots. We have a choice. At any time we could walk away. Come on, someone. But God positioned us. He chose us. And I believe, and the Word of God holds this, and we'll talk about it in a minute. We all have an equal chance. Those who say yes, He has predestined to serve Him in the kingdom. There's a path that God chose for us because we said yes. He said, okay, here's the path I want you to walk. If we say no, then we're given to the things of the world. No one is holy or righteous without Him. Outside of Christ, it's defilement and destruction. None can nor should succeed without Christ. None can or should succeed without Jesus Christ. But because He chose us and we said yes to that, how many know God supplied us for victory? Yes. How much glory can God get for failure? None. It's not that failure doesn't happen, but how many times have you heard me say this over the past few years? Sin should be a surprise, not an expectation. Because I am who I am in God, I can overcome sin. If I can't overcome sin, it's going to be hard for me to tell the guy on the street that God forgives sin and makes us strong. If I can't overcome it myself, come on, someone. God's given us dynamite to blow sin away. He's positioned us for greatness and glory. Verse 5 goes on to say, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Listen to what it says. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ, to where? To Himself, God, according to the good pleasure of His will. Why? So He would have sons and daughters to represent Him. Look what Romans 8:29 says. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He called. Whom He called, these He justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. God just didn't call us to just be Christians and to fail and to walk, fall down and get up, fall down and get up, fall down, sin, forgiveness, sin, forgiveness, sin, forgiveness, sin, forgiveness. He called us to be justified and glorified, to walk as victorious overcomers in this age. And that's what society is looking for. If this thing works, you can hear them say, if this thing works, let me see it work. We need to see it work. We were talking as pastors the other day, and I said, there's this neighborhood bar I used to go to before I was saved. And at the bar, there'd be fights every night. You get drunk, somebody say something you didn't like, and you get a fight. And the next Friday night, the people that were fighting are sitting at the bar having a beer. You'd knock somebody's block off. I think I was saying that yesterday. I hit a lot of people in the nose with, or in the fist with my nose. So I had a big mouth. But every time I went back to the bar, the same people were there. And we've become so sensitive as a society. Somebody says something wrong, I'm not going to go there anymore. Those people don't understand me. Come on, somebody. We have tenacity in God. Tenacity in God. God's called us. He predestined us for glory and greatness. His predestination is predicated on our response. We said yes to God. Now God has victory planned for us. Those who choose Christ are conformed to His image. God is shaping and forming us in His image. You say, what's going on in my life? Why am I experiencing these things? In His image. Sometimes it hurts. In all the holy things, there's a woodshed. That's the holiest place of all. So He's driving the flesh out of us so we can walk in victory. Watch what He's predestined us for. He predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. So what? So He could glorify us. Those who choose Christ are conformed to His image. Don't chafe under the bit of being shaped into His image. Those who did not choose Christ are being formed for the things of the world. Amen? I just put a few suggestions at the end. We're going to try this, and over the next few weeks, we're going to get better at it. But you and I are going to walk into some waters we may not have walked in before. But let me encourage you to, you might have something to say, and I want to open this to the floor. But I just want to start with a couple of questions, and then I'm looking for someone to answer them. Number one, are there apostles and prophets in today's church?
Yes.
There are. Why?
The quickening of the saints.
Someone else? Why are apostles in the church?
Because they're special messengers. They're here to tell us.
Yeah.
Relay the word of God.
Yes. They're set ones, emissaries.
Give direction to the body.
Yeah.
Give direction.
To exhort, lift up.
Yes. Apostles and prophets are being added to the church. One of the things that's been over, and I don't want to take the whole time, I just want to make mention. One of the things that's happened is everybody's an apostle these days. We got 25, 26-year-old men that are calling themselves apostles and women. I said, man, grow up a little bit. Grow up a little bit before you're an apostle. Look around at the gray heads in the room. We know some things, don't we? We've lived life. Come on, raise your hand. You know some things. But yes, He has placed apostles in the body of Christ, and we're looking to some of those as a church. And I'm encouraging, we as elders are looking as well. And over the next year or so, you're going to see some of that effect as you have in the past. What is the requirement according to the Word of God to be a saint?
Believe on Jesus.
That's all. That's all you need to be is believe on Jesus as a saint.
Accept
Him as the Lord and Savior.
There you go.
What's the definition of a saint?
Being born again.
Yeah. Called out.
Yeah.
One that's covered with the blood.
Yeah.
Translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light.
Wow. Yes. That's a saint. Say, I'm a saint.
I'm a saint.
You know, we don't have to strive to be a saint. For a believer, we're a saint.
That's right.
Now, there are things that God will, because He loves us. I have a terrific, terrific 11-year-old granddaughter. But I'm not going to give her the keys to the car and tell her to go to the store for me. I'm just not going to do it. She's a terrific human being. She's got so much talent and just drive for life. But she has to grow into that. Come on, someone. But she doesn't have to work to be a human being. She's a human being because she was born. You've been born into the kingdom. You're a saint. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Yes. Did I see a hand over here? No? Third question. How would you describe the grace of God?
Unmerited favor.
What's that? Unmerited favor?
Besides that, it's His favor, it's His influence, and His ability to work in our lives.
Yeah.
Free.
Yeah. It's mercy over justice.
Yes.
Wow. That's
good. Just what we...
Explain it, yeah.
Mercy over justice.
Why does God do that? Why does God give us mercy?
We're His children. He loves us.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Someone else. What's the grace of God? Yes.
I would say it's all those things. It's a manifold of things because God is long-suffering and He's kind. He's loving. And He's empowered us with all those things. And He puts up with us.
Someone grab this and give this to Him. Someone. What were you saying now, Tom?
I was saying it's a manifold of things because it's everything that everybody had just mentioned, plus it's His long-suffering and kindness towards us all. He puts up with us daily. He empowers us daily. You know, and he guides us daily. So grace is in many things. It's not just one thing or a few things. It's a lot of things.
Empowerment.
Yes.
Wow. Good stuff. Someone else. Yes, Mick. How's that work out in your practical life?
Jesus, please.
Is there any problem too small or too big for him?
No.
I can't.
Come on, somebody. The grace of God. What about peace? What's the peace of God mean? No fear.
That's a good word.
To know he's in control.
Amen. Amen.
Be able to trust in him.
Be able to trust.
Confidence.
Confidence.
Surrender.
Wow.
Assurance. No worry, no hurry, no doubt.
Say that again.
No worry, no hurry, no doubt. Yeah. My grandma used to tell me that.
Wow.
How many know in this room, doesn't that sound great? Because everything's good in the room. The temperature's good. Everybody's smiling. How many know at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday morning when you wake up and fear strikes you? Come on, somebody. We need the peace of God that passes all understanding.
That's right.
That guards our heart and minds.
Yep.
In Christ Jesus.
I'd like to say, to know our identity. Having a peace of God is knowing who we are in him. That's how we know that we are overcomers, by what he's done, not by what we've done or what we can do.
Somebody like give testimony to the peace of God? Something you recently went through, the peace of God sustained you? Sherry, yes.
This past week, I'm sorry. I went through some testing at the doctor's office, and they gave me a medication that caused me to have some adverse reactions, and it mimicked horrible chest pain. And I had to go into the emergency room, and I was admitted overnight just for observation, but all of the test results came back normal so far. I'll finish knowing on Monday, but I just knew. I knew that God was keeping me. I knew that I was in his rest. I knew that I knew that I knew that no matter what they were saying to me, that God had me in the palm of his hand. I was abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. I was taking refuge under his wing. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding was with me, no matter what. I had a peace that I just can't even explain it. It was like it flooded over my soul. It flooded over my spirit, man. And I just couldn't even say the words, I'm not feeling well, because I knew that God was with me and that his peace and his spirit was over me. It was like he blanketed me. He
Praise
put
God.
A blanket, a mantle upon me. And each and every one of us have that blanket and that mantle.
Praise God. Praise God.
I can remember 10 years ago, October 09, Danny and Holly can remember this. I've never had a doctor to call my house before to see how I was doing. Usually you make appointments and you go with visit them, and I had cancer in my body. And, I'm standing here telling you about it. The Holy Spirit come upon me, and I didn't care. I really didn't have my feeling was I wouldn't worry about insurance. I had assurance. You know, I didn't. I looked at the doctor, and I told the Lord, I said, I already told the Lord that when you go in my body, take this out, that I was either going to be visiting with him or I'm going to be telling you about him. You know, and no matter what you do, you're not going to make me stay anymore if he wants to take me. Hey, you know, I said, if he wants me to stay, it ain't nothing you're going to do to keep me here. You know, and so And I want to know that you just know that when that you have a peace when he tells you, because you can trust in what he says. You know, and he's not finished with Ricky yet.
Amen.
Thank you for having me, Lord.
everything that I've gone through lately with the heart thing, you know, I knew either way the Lord had me in his hand.
Yes.
But the biggest thing that was the hardest thing for me to go through was Josh. With the cancer and stuff, but yet at the same time, he gave me his peace. Whenever that fear would try to come in, it's like, nope, you know, I'm trusting you, Lord, it's gonna be okay. And he is cancer free, so.
Praise God.
Now, how many know, Mom talking about son, Mom just went through a quadruple bypass. You see, I was really concerned with my son. How many know that's the peace of God? That's the peace of God, yes.
Well, several years ago, I had hyperventilation, I think you call it, whatever. And I was, you know, at that point, I thought I was dying, and there was fear come on me. But lately, the last several years, I've had 3 heart attacks and 1 stroke. And I can say it doesn't bother me a bit. I mean, I don't get excited. I just had the peace right through all of it. And I get to witness to the paramedics, and I get to ride in a chopper and in the ambulance and sing to them and do all kinds of stuff. Yeah. So it's just awesome. Amen. There's no fear there at all.
Wow. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Good stuff. The peace of God. It passes all understanding. Paul greets them. The grace and the peace of God be upon you.
Riding a chopper.
What are spiritual blessings? What's these spiritual blessings anyway? What are they? How do we enunciate them? What? Name a few spiritual blessings we have.
Discernment.
Peace.
Love.
Joy.
Long-suffering.
Self-control.
It's the description of God himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forgiveness, mercy.
Spiritual.
Manifestations of his promises in the Word.
Yes. Victory over everything.
Mm-hmm. Victory over everything. Louder.
Hang on, John.
That you have an advocate that you can go to and get the answers to the things you need in your life. And that's a tremendous blessing to me.
I met somebody once in Philadelphia. We went to see President Bush. He was speaking downtown, and I met somebody that bragged with me for about 15 minutes about having personal audience with President Bush, thinking he was like all that in a bag of chips, you know, personal. And I was thinking all the while as he was talking, I had personal audience with the King of Kings today. I didn't tell him that, but I said, you know, president's one thing. How many know? Spiritual blessings. Can you imagine? At any time we cry out to God, we have his ear.
No, it's okay.
God's never too busy. Yeah.
My Father owns it all.
Spiritual blessings. And I've been with the King of Kings. I've been with the Creator of the universe. He's with us right now as we're here. And everything that flows from that, all good things that flow from personal audience with God. Wow. Is there anything too difficult?
No.
Come on, somebody.
No.
Then he calls us servants, saints, servants, interchangeable. What does it mean to be a servant?
Love others.
Love others? What else?
Prefer others above yourself.
Prefer others above yourself. What else?
Do all things unto God.
Doing the work of the kingdom.
Do all things unto God.
You always going to get applauded for doing that? Or are you going to be criticized, made fun of, mocked?
Absolutely.
Sometimes hurt. Do things without being wanting to be noticed.
There you go.
Just do things because you're supposed to. Yep. Don't wait to be thanked. Just do it.
It's a privilege.
It's a privilege to be a servant.
Yeah.
Come on, someone. That's where we live, yes.
If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be a servant of all.
Yes.
Amen. It's a good word.
So that's the way to live. Serve. Yeah. Question is, do we live that way?
Oh, boy. Let me have a naked moment with you. This happened a couple of months ago at Kroger. I was in a hurry, and we had a meeting or something. I stopped at the store and was going through the checkout. I had enough stuff. I didn't want to go through the self-robot thing. I wanted to have an actual person check me out. And the lady in front of me was having trouble with her card. And it didn't work, and it didn't work, and it didn't work. And you could see the embarrassment grow in her because there was no money on the card. I was like looking at my watch, and I was all upset. And God said, take care of her bill. Just pay her bill. I was like, I'm trying to do figures in my head. It wasn't a whole lot, but it was enough where I had to see if I had enough to get hers and mine. And I'm not saying to get a pat on the back. I mean, I obeyed God, but I did it kicking and dragging the whole way until I finally obeyed, and I wasn't even happy when she said thank you. I was like, okay, well, thank you, move on. Let me get through. Come on, is that where we live? We're called to be servants. And then he had to deal with my attitude, so.
No. You may have wanted to stay in that place, but that isn't where you need to move out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Move out of there.
Yes, amen. Amen. We may not feel chosen, we're chosen. It is not how we feel. It is not. Thank God it's not how we feel. How many older people could say, thank God it's how we feel? I wake up in the morning, I don't feel much like I'm chosen sometimes. My body is not lining up with what it's supposed to. But I stand and say, I'm chosen by God. He picked me. Nothing surprises him. The reason I've lived so long on the earth is because he's got more for me to do. Come on, someone. Wonderful interaction. It's going to grow. I don't know what this thing is going to look like, but it's truly a discussion. I want to hear from you, so I want you to study ahead with me. I thought we were going to get through verse 8, but the Lord didn't want that to happen. So we just went to verse 5. We'll be adding to these books every week. I'm asking you to study, pray, come ready to share. God may give you revelation during the week. That's what we want to hear. We need to hear. Because we are being trained for a purpose. It's not so trained so we have all this knowledge. Come on, somebody. If he gives us all this knowledge and all this blessing, it's for a purpose and a reason. It's to show forth his kingdom. The heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he gave to man. He wants us to have dominion on this earth. So, Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters this morning. I thank you for a new life. I thank you for what you're doing in us, God. What a tremendous testimony that we heard from different people this morning. Thank you for the victory that you've supplied for each one of us. Lord, every one of us has a story to tell. We're here because you put us here. God, oh Lord, knit our hearts together. Lord, make us one as you purposed and planned. God, I pray that the DNA in new life would begin to change. Lord, I pray for our church, God. I pray for our fellowship, God, that it would grow even tighter, that we would be one mind and one accord, knowing each other after the Spirit. not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And Lord, we'll not forget to give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.